is one of America's prominent sports commentators and columnists,
known for his fearless opinions and passionate dialogue.
I know it's sad, but the best sports conversation has absolutely nothing to do with sports.
He has perfected the Daily Sports Podcast, having produced hundreds of topical, credible shows without even a hint of fake news.
No filters, no mute buttons, no BS, just me and whatever the hell I feel like talking about.
He has done 1,700 TV shows, written 8,000 columns, broadcast hundreds of talk shows, published a book.
He has covered every major sports event nationally and worldwide.
And yet, we still can't shut him up.
The ceiling is the roof.
And now from Los Angeles, inside his studio by the Pacific Ocean,
where he plans on hanging out with a beer immediately after this podcast is recorded.
Oh, man. Here he is, Jay Mariotti.
The show is unmuted. I'm Jay in Los Angeles, and it's true. Robert Kraft was making the Hollywood party rounds before the Oscars. I would not lie about that. This is not good form, obviously, when a shocked and disgusted world wonders whether a pervy old man realized he was participating in an international human trafficking ring when he solicited sex twice from exploited Chinese female workers at a strip mall parlor. But then, by continuing on this party train as if oblivious to his life-changing crisis, this just might prove my point about Kraft. The man is not all there. He is not himself. I'm not making excuses for him. But in his hazy world right now, Jupiter, Florida might as well be planet Jupiter. And in that vein, think about it. Should all of Kraft's good deeds in a long charitable life be completely wiped out now because of two lonely, raunchy slips in judgment? As Florida authorities prepared an arrest warrant for him on two misdemeanor counts of soliciting another to commit prostitution, know this about Kraft. Among the many millions he has contributed through the years as a civic philanthropist were the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he and his late wife gave to, ready for it, the sexual exploitation of children, including those from Asia. Kraft certainly is guilty of blind hypocrisy, if not senility. And that said, even as the most successful owner in all of sports, NFL bylaws demand that he be held to a higher standard than even the players in matters of personal conduct. And if prosecutors do find it necessary to publicly release video evidence of his sex acts, those images never will be forgotten. Bob Kraft clearly needs help, but first, as a wealthy, famous, and powerful white man in a politically charged America, he must pay a steep price for his deplorable foolishness.
All you need to know about sports today in 15 minutes, or maybe 18, you know, depending on the Warriors, the Steelers, Trump, and the LeBron James Media Network.
The question is, how steep a price? As the Orchids of Asia Day Spa becomes Florida's newest tourist attraction, Kraft is living a private hell, as well he should, given his actions. He's dealing right now with public humiliation, a professional reckoning, a crisis about his character and sobriety, dirty old man jokes for the rest of his life, and widespread debate over whether he should be allowed to continue as the front and center face of one of sports' all-time dynasties, not to mention his status as one of the most powerful men in the NFL and in American business. But let's also catch our collective breath here. I've heard junior high school level crude jokes about Kraft, and I've heard cries to put him in jail for a long time for participating in sex trafficking, and as usual, the thoughtful commentary is found somewhere in the middle. One cannot overstate the unspeakable, abhorrent nature of sex trafficking, of women being lured to America with promises of a better life, only to be forced into sex slavery every day at a frequency, in some cases, of 1,500 men a year. If there can be any good from this, at least it brings more public awareness to the grave crisis of human trafficking. And Kraft was among 173 men named in these snares throughout South Florida, including a Wall Street financier, the former president of Citibank, the boyfriend of LPGA star Jessica Korda, and the 75-year-old president of a Florida Boys and Girls Club. But we're also talking about a 77-year-old man, some perspective here, who came from a different and less enlightened era, when prostitution was a wink-wink thrill as easy as rolling down a car window by a street corner. Can anyone be certain the craft realized he was consciously exploiting sex slaves, that he knew these women were kept and living on the premises when all he wanted as a lonely old man was the quote-unquote rub and tug and quote-unquote happy ending as advertised in online spa reviews? Is it fair to attach craft to a human trafficking ring spanning from China to the U.S.? Maybe it is. I think it's open to discussion. Also, this is open to discussion. Have you listened to Kraft's speech patterns recently, such as when he accepted Super Bowl trophy number 6 for the New England Patriots? I'm going to bring that back for you right here.
Patriots fans, this is your 6th championship in the last 18 years. Truly an unprecedented accomplishment, really managed by exceptional players and coaches to whom all of us forever grateful. But there is one constant throughout this whole 18 years. Two men who are the best at whatever has been done in the history of the NFL. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And through their hard work and great leadership, I am honored to say for the 6th time, we are all Patriots, and once again, the Patriots are world champions.
Some people thought Kraft had had a few too many during the game. My thought was he's pushing 80 years old. So was he cogent enough to know he was getting two happy endings from sex slaves? In truth, is Kraft all there upstairs? For certain, he's guilty of something, stupidity, an alarming lack of judgment, thinking he wouldn't be caught as a John in this unsavory shop beside a nail salon and an outback steakhouse amid the wealth and the privilege in a town of mansions, beaches, and golf courses. And as somebody who has failed miserably to uphold his standing as one of the titans of American sports, by all means, Robert Kraft should be punished with, I'm going to say, a season-long suspension and a $2 million fine by his nemesis, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who suspended Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay 6 games and gave him a $500,000 fine for his own sordid role in a drugs and women scandal a few years back, including driving under the influence of painkillers that violated the league's personal conduct policy. I say you increase the penalty for Kraft, given the circumstances, given the grave situation involving sex trafficking. I think Goodell can do that, and nobody will say a word about it. Kraft can't say a word about it. But to actually kick Kraft completely out of the league, look, if Goodell did that, you'd probably also have to eliminate half the owners in sports and probably half the CEOs in business, because unless you live in a cave, you do realize that prominent men and women do hire prostitutes, usually doing these deeds discreetly in luxurious $5,000 a night hotel suites, maybe showering people with gifts, as, say, Richard Gere did in Pretty Woman. Ever step into the lobby of a Beverly Hills hotel or a Vegas hotel or hotels at major sports events? Sex opportunities are everywhere. I've had prostitutes follow me into elevators. I had to push the button, get out at the next floor, as a sports writer, no less. Regardless of one's wealth and status in life, human beings do give in to lust, and they participate. Kraft's problem is that he was so desperate and blind that he chose to spend $59, $79 in a strip mall when he's worth $4.5 billion. And he could have done his tricks behind closed doors, not inside a seedy parlor that police were casing out with surveillance cameras. And for that egregious error in judgment, Kraft is suffering amid a scolding public wrath that wonders the following. One, why would Kraft stoop to this level 8 years after the death of his beloved wife, Myra? And why would he embarrass his children? Two, why, for several years, has Kraft been dating a woman half his age, an actress model who in 2017 had a baby that was not Kraft's baby, but a child that Kraft continues to financially support nonetheless? Really? And three, why has Kraft been carousing around like a 25-year-old, wearing hip-hop bling and sneakers and going to Hollywood clubs and events? Some men lose their life partners and sink into depression by themselves. Kraft decided to become a septuagenarian party boy who lost his way, and now that he has been found out, just imagine his inner pain and embarrassment, although it might be delayed because he's probably at another party as I speak. He'll figure it out eventually. Hopefully this debacle sobers him, and even if he does slip away legally with a misdemeanor or has the charges dropped, he would be wise to apologize publicly, talk openly about his life in recent years, and acknowledge that he is a human being with weaknesses, as all of us have. At least Kraft has one friend in the White House who happens to live in Palm Beach.
What are the charges against Bob Kraft? He's a friend of yours.
Well, it's very sad. I was very surprised to see it. He's proclaimed his innocence totally, but I'm very surprised to see it.
I also have a question for the police in Florida. During their investigation of the prostitution spa, if they were so concerned about the welfare of the sex slaves, why did they allow the activity to continue on for weeks without stepping in to protect the women? Were they more interested in nabbing big names than saving the slaves? Very good question. In the big picture of life, going on 80 years of it, Robert Kraft has been a philanthropic machine, as I said, a humanitarian who has helped countless causes, and maybe that image is gone forever, no matter how he tries to protect it in the future. But to hang him and accuse him of a nefarious role in Chinese sex trafficking, I think that's going too far. I think this is an old man who was desperate for sex any way he could get it. I don't think he was thinking about the sex trafficking. Maybe I'm wrong. I think the combination of being desperate and old, he just wanted to get his rocks off, is disgusting as it is. And Kraft is living his punishment as we speak, and after Goodell is done with him, no more discipline will be necessary. In the meantime, his son Jonathan should take more of an active public role in running the Patriots and help his father through this crisis, and then in about 3 or 4 years, take over completely, and Bob can retire, though not to Florida. Please, not Florida. This is the franchise of Bill Belichick and Spygate, Tom Brady and Deflategate, and the murders committed by Aaron Hernandez. Now, it's the franchise of Bob Kraft and Inflategate. Now, the patriarch lives in shame when all he wanted... I don't know what he wanted. He wanted some sex, like everybody else in the world. And his football dynasty, once again, does not play well in a country that wants to be proud of its champions, not embarrassed and disgusted. Time was when one of the richest contracts in North American sports history would be celebrated as a historical milestone, a tribute to the recipient's stature. But Bryce Harper's windfall, as expected from the Philadelphia Phillies, feels like meh. Thanks to the collusive efforts of the baseball owners, blue bloods and lesser gilded alike, the Phillies were the only team that produced the long-term deal Harper wanted, at least since his former team, the Washington Nationals, offered 10 years and $300 million last autumn. Harper and agent Scott Boras wanted more, and they'll presumably get a little more, but without the bidding frenzy expected, some people ripping Boras for doing a horrible job. How is he supposed to control baseball collusion? Just as Manny Machado was worth $300 million over 10 years as a 26-year-old superstar with his best years ahead of him, Harper also is a dynamic presence, same age, worthy of the jackpot, as a breathtaking MVP talent who could have 50 home run seasons at Citizens Bank Park and become the face of Philadelphia sports and the continuing heart and soul of a sport that needs more buzz and marketing to stay relevant. In 50 career games in Philly, Harper has 15 home runs and 42 RBIs. Do the math. And just as the Padres made Santiago giddy with the Machado signing as his number 13 jersey flies off the racks, Harper's apparent signing makes the Phillies prominent again in that Eagles and Sixers town, a traditional baseball hotbed now expecting a pennant contender with additions such as JT Realmuto, David Robertson, and Andrew McCutchen. But what continues to blow me away, and I say it every podcast, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees, three filthy rich franchises with massive financial advantages, wanted no part of Harper or Machado. Shame, shame. And when all three fail to win the World Series, they'll say, shucks, we came close, when all should be held to higher standards because of those competitive financial advantages. The Boston Red Sox are doing it right when Bob Kraft is doing it all wrong in New England. Combining the advanced analytics of baseball ops with a top-ranked payroll commensurate with the franchise's value and those big market expectations in New England. It's important that some owners do break free of these collusive shackles and think about winning a World Series or at least competing for one. It's not about getting the best return financially as so many of these owners think. Unfortunately, those in big markets think that way. But ultimately, as I have said for months, the rancor of the last two off seasons is going to lead to a strike that could sabotage the sport, kill it away. And now with the regular season not far away, we will watch teams scramble, or at least I think so, to sign a wealth of quality free agents, although not at the money they want, assuming anybody still wants to pay an Adam Jones or a Dallas Keuchel before opening day. With every clumsy moment, baseball feels more like a niche sport when not long ago it was the national pastime. I don't remember, though. That was a long time ago. And never mind the low-key comforting words of the Dodgers. Nothing can be good about Clayton Kershaw, already in decline as a pitching ace for the ages, deciding to curtail his normal throwing progression for a few days. The Dodgers say he does have shoulder inflammation in his left arm. He's taking medication. They say he's okay. Are you sure? I'm not sure of that at all. After numerous back and arm injuries the last three seasons, Kershaw settled for a $93 million extension after his average fastball velocity dipped to 90.7, more than 3 miles per hour off since 2015. He is the opening day starter, I presume, but he's no longer the staff ace, recalling how Walker Buehler shut down the otherwise unstoppable Red Sox in his lone World Series start. It could be we have seen the best of Kershaw in the past, and this is another blow to a fan base that watched the Dodgers lose the last two World Series and then watched the Dodgers do little in the offseason, even though team chairman Mark Walter says there was no directive to stay under the luxury tax. I don't believe that either. Kershaw has been among those saying he will ignore any attempt to implement a 20-second pitch clock, and Max Scherzer now will be joining him with the Nationals ace, saying any ball strike penalties would be, quote, messing with the fabric of the game, unquote. This is why Manfred hedged when asked last week about the particulars of the clock. He had no details. And rather than have nightly chaos on the field, think about it, Scherzer yelling at an ump or refusing to pitch the ball or Kershaw doing whatever or batters stepping out and intentionally trying to piss off the umpire. I mean, I could see all this chaos going on because of what has happened in these dormant financial off seasons. I'm guessing, because he doesn't want that chaos, that Manfred will wimp out again and table the clock until next season. What a sport. To college basketball, where Zion Williamson will not be shutting down his one and only season at Duke, regardless of rational calls from the likes of me to do just that and protect his golden NBA future. After Duke rallied without Zion for an emotional win at Syracuse, Coach Mike Krzyzewski said there have been no discussions with Zion or his family about an early exit because of the knee sprain that included an exploding Nike sneaker. But Duke, all but assured of a top seed now, as long as R.J. Barrett keeps carrying the cause, will take its time with Williamson, and don't be surprised if he doesn't surface until maybe the ACC tournament, if not the first round of the NCAA tournament. Here was Coach K.
He's handled everything all year great. He's such a great kid. And, we would never play a kid who's not ready to play, or we would never play a youngster who didn't want to play. And so, it's not about that. It's about he wants to play. He loves being a Duke. He doesn't like being injured. It's not an injury that – it's an injury that you can get over in a shorter period of time. And there's just a protocol that we have to go through to make sure that he's completely ready. And we're not going to rush anything. So that's why we say day-to-day, because it's literally day-to-day, and we get progress. But he and his parents have been great, and they've been great all year, and he's terrific. They, we were trying to decide whether to bring him or not, just so that wouldn't be, we didn't know, okay, are we bringing amateurism, pay, are we going to gunny sack this whole thing and bring it? And but Zion said, Coach, I want to be with my guys. Trey was with us when he was hurt. And I said, okay, just be you on the bench, be you in the locker room. And he was. So
there was criticism of Jim Boeheim when he chose to coach his Syracuse team following the tragic accident 3 nights before when a car driven by Boeheim struck and killed 51-year-old Jorge Jimenez. But authorities will not charge Boeheim, saying he cleared an alcohol test and was going the proper speed when he struck Jimenez, who was tending to a car in which he was a passenger. That car had hit a guardrail in bad weather and careened into the middle of the highway where an oncoming Boeheim hit the car. At first, the family of Jimenez didn't understand why Boeheim was coaching, but when the university chose to honor the life of Jimenez before the game and follow it with a moment of silence, it was understood by all that Boeheim's participation in the game would be a positive for all, including the players he did recruit to Syracuse. Here was Boeheim, devastated after the loss to Duke, but not by the loss to Duke.
First and foremost, to the Jimenez family, I want them to know how truly devastated I am for my involvement in the loss of their loved one, Jorge Jimenez. The grief and pain his family is feeling at this time is simply put unimaginable. Julie, my family, and I are heartbroken. I love this community, and to see so many of my fellow community members rally around the Jimenez family is a reminder of how special Central New York is. As Chancellor Severud and Director of Athletics John Waldeck have said, our entire Syracuse University family extends our deepest condolences to everyone impacted by this loss. My decision to coach this game, all I can say is I felt the responsibility and obligation to my players, the members of my basketball team. I recruited these young men to come play at Syracuse University. They needed me to try to do my job tonight, and they understand I did this feeling fully the weight of the tragic accident and its impact on the Jimenez family. This is something that will be with me for the rest of my life.
To the NBA, where predictably, after rallying to beat Houston 2 nights earlier, the Lakers lost to a New Orleans team that didn't have a resting Anthony Davis. And leave it to my favorite guy, LeBron James, to point the finger at, yes, his young teammates after they again failed to play defense and bring consistency. Pointing a lot of fingers at LeBron James. LeBron says his teammates are afraid to fail. A great leader would make these comments behind closed doors, not to the media, but LeBron's all about the media. How does it play in the media? A playoff berth is fading away, and Luke Walton is facing a dismissal here, but you know, LeBron has to get his political ducks in order, right? It's never his fault, and listen to how he demeans a reporter who simply asked him a question after that loss to the Pels.
Like, how do you know what's at stake if you've never been there before? Or, you know.
How do you know I've never been there before?
No, not you.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just like, you know, kind of playing devil's advocate, you know.
Right, right. The idea of trying to get to the playoffs, the idea
of
now just 23 games.
Yeah, that means... So, you know, so it's kind of a, you know, a fine line, you know, when you talk about that, because, you know, when you've never been there or know what it takes to actually, you know, shoot for something like that, sometimes you're afraid to get uncomfortable. You know, so you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I'm not saying that's what we are as a whole. It kind of looks that way at times, that, you know, sometimes we feel like we're afraid to be uncomfortable, kind of get out of our comfort zone. You know, kind of, you know, have that sense of urgency, you know, from the jump, not be afraid to actually go out and fail to succeed. So, I mean, we have, what, 23 games left.
Thanks to LeBron and agent Rich Paul, Davis has ruined the season in New Orleans, where the Pels would prefer to rest their massive trade asset than risk a major injury. But too much rest in these final weeks flies against the league's competitive integrity doctrine. Even if Pelicans fans are booing Davis and his teammates don't want to play with him, and they actually seem to play better without him. So Davis will play intermittently until he doesn't. I have an idea. Why not drastically reduce ticket and concession prices at Smoothie King Center and then let the Pels sit Davis? Yeah, as if that's ever going to happen. And the Warriors continue to think they can flip switches to the exasperation of Coach Steve Kerr. They were outworked by a Rockets team that didn't have an injured James Harden, which makes me wonder why Harden was playing hero ball and scoring 30 points every night for weeks on end in that historic streak, when Chris Paul, P.J. Tucker, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, and Kenneth Faried were so brilliant in that victory in Oakland. Might the Rockets still make a charge in the postseason? There must be a middle ground here between Harden domination and this team effort the other night, and Coach Mike D'Antoni better find that ground. Harden lost MVP votes for certain on Saturday night. And it's kind of a shame that Steph Curry was injured and missed 11 games, or I think he would have a case for another MVP award, super team cast and all. We tend to take his otherworldly shooting exploits for granted, but as we've seen, he can drop a 10 three-point game on us any time, and that really should be viewed as a continuing modern miracle as he advances the long-range shooting revolution. But between those 11 missed games and having Durant, Thompson, and Green as teammates, Curry will not be winning that award, as it becomes a referendum on Giannis Antetokounmpo versus Harden. And it's Giannis' award to lose, as he has led the Bucks to the league's best record while changing the sport in his own way offensively on a team that happens to lead the NBA in defense. Check, check, check. Harden is putting together these historic scoring binges out of necessity, although I didn't see any necessity the other night. And when he complains that referee Scott Foster is arrogant and shouldn't work Rockets games, well, nobody has any sympathy when Harden irritates a lot of players and coaches by the way he manipulates and draws foul calls, cleverly but irritatingly. The Greek Freak is the motto of dominance and efficiency. Harden has become a gunner, and while it's amazing he makes those shots when opponents know full well what's coming, it's not a workload that defines MVP. And I continue to love the NBA's transparency in calling out officials for incorrect calls, including 4 on the final 2 plays of Milwaukee's 1-point win over Boston. What I don't love is that these last 2-minute reports never seem to get any better, which means officiating is a problem in the NBA, but you knew that already. And the NFL Draft Combine is this week with all eyes on Kyler Murray, who has arm strength, blazing speed, escapability, and the ability to make every pass. But he is only 5'9", as you may have heard, and even in a dual threat era when shorter stature hasn't stopped Baker Mayfield, 5'9 is short, shorter than me even. And teams will be measuring Murray and inspecting his durability. One thing they do not have to ask him about is whether he's wavering about playing baseball. He's not, as Murray said over the weekend, saying he has officially bid adieu to the Oakland A's as he prepares to be the first athlete ever drafted in the first round of both sports.
I think a lot of, we had a lot of talks and, back and forth, but it was kind of, it's obviously hard to kind of, not break that relationship, but tell them how we're going to do it and stuff like that. But for me, I think it was something I'd known for a while.
Was it anything like being recruited back in your Allen days in terms of?
Well, I mean, I don't get the choice of where I want to go, but it was.
Picking between football and baseball and people that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously hard, I think, those are the best possible, that organization being with the A's was the best possible situation for me just because they were so great throughout football season, kind of leaving me alone, letting me do my own thing, and then at the same time, letting me know how much they, I meant to them and all types of stuff. So, telling them it was tough, but.
Quarterbacks never stop making news, such as this. Is Russell Wilson set to hit the jackpot next offseason, prepared to leave Seattle and head to New York? With celebrity wife Sierra, I said that right, preferring to be in the big market for her music career, Wilson is said to be eyeing the Giants. Problem is, the Giants picking, number 6 in the draft are pinpointing Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins as Eli Manning's eventual replacement. The Giants can't wait a year for Wilson, so the better question is, what about the Seahawks? If they allow their franchise player to leave? Wow! Pete Carroll did a great coaching job last year, and now Russell 1 year, and he's going to leave? And will new Arizona coach Cliff Kingsbury, armed with the overall number one pick, actually trade Josh Rosen and then take Murray with that top pick? Think about it. If you hire Kingsbury to play the air raid system, don't you grab the quarterback Kingsbury adores and the one best equipped to approach the success of Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield in this new quarterbacking era? Contrary to public opinion, Murray did most of his operating inside the pocket at Oklahoma, and his speed immediately will make him one of the NFL's fastest players. The closer we come to the draft, the less likely Murray falls to Miami at 13. Arizona is primed to cash in. As for Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers general manager, Kevin Colbert, opened an already icky can of worms when he said he has no problem with Big Ben criticizing certain teammates, which is one reason Antonio Brown wants out of Pittsburgh. Brown has much bigger problems than Big Ben, of course, and he's lucky he's even in trade rumors given his countless problems off the field. How would Antonio, Mr. Hollywood, like life in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which makes Pittsburgh look like Manhattan? Now it's time for The Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, now that we've had a weekend to think about the Kraft debacle, I don't think banning him from the NFL is the answer. That's the quick trigger reaction in a politically charged nation that wants to see a rich and powerful white dude go down. But I think a wider look is necessary. Yes, sex trafficking is horrific, but at 77 and kind of out of his mind right now in this party train, I'm not certain Kraft was putting together the sex slave connection when he had his chauffeur take him for a couple of happy endings. Some men think these places are just there to be there. I can't speak for him. At some point, he's going to have to himself. But I do say a one-season suspension. This is harsh. A $2 million fine, and that's more than Jim Irsay got after his drugs and women scandal while taking into account the other Patriot scandals. I think this would be a fair penalty by Goodell. And then you ease in Kraft's son, Jonathan into the role of Patriots frontman in a couple of years. What would you do with Kraft?
Well, Jay, I know this theory isn't being used a lot. I'm not hearing it a lot on ESPN because ESPN doesn't want to dare say these things about Robert Kraft and the NFL. What if Kraft did know? It seems odd that a multi-billionaire, a man who is visible, a man who is known, especially in that community, just waltzes into a place like this. He could easily get anything he wanted delivered to his room. So has it become well-known? I mean, there's other names on this list that this was a place that was known for this, that was known for people that were, I shouldn't say people, that were known for human beings being trafficked. If it is simply a lack of judgment on his end, that's one thing. But I go to the other side. And what does that exactly mean? Ultimately, I think, you know, charges are going to be brought against him. I think, and they're going to be solicitation charges. But as hard as Roger Goodell has been on other things, he just cleaned the Kaepernick mess up, or at least settled that. I can't imagine Robert Kraft is visible at all for the next season. That's just my opinion. I don't think Roger Goodell is going to allow it. And if it's Robert Kraft, I wouldn't want to be visible. It's one thing if he was caught with a high-priced escort in his room. Ultimately, I don't think Robert Kraft can be the face of anything. And I really hope that one of the theories you posed, that maybe he just didn't know any better, he's an old man. I really hope that's true, because if he had knowledge of any of this, he's a disgusting individual that should be punished.
And, Chris, how does L.A. react if LeBron and the Lakers do not make the playoffs? And the Clippers do!
Well, I will say it. After saying that I wouldn't call him this, what I called him last season, I will use it again. LeBron is in full bitch mode. Full bitch mode. Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs, Jay. And he's going to be figuring out a way to get attention, to bash his team, to throw people under the bus. And it's going to be amazing to watch. LeBron has come back to the LeBron we know. The LeBron, he always was the guy we knew, and he hasn't changed a bit. LeBron is in full bitch mode.
And Chris, if you're the Cardinals and you just hired dual threat guru Cliff Kingsbury as head coach, do you trade Josh Rosen and then take Kyler Murray with the number one pick? Or at 5'9", is Murray too much of a gamble in the big boys league?
Remember when Josh Rosen told us all he was going to be better than Sam Darnold? Yeah, how'd that work out? That guy's been a disaster on and off the field. I absolutely ship Josh Rosen out. I don't think he's got what it takes. At least with Kyler Murray, you got a chance to create excitement. It worked for Cleveland. Look at the Browns now. By the way, two years ago was when Baker Mayfield had that little run-in with police. How far he's come. Kyler Murray, I would move Josh Rosen. Give yourself a chance to create excitement, get some wins, and actually have some attention. I don't think anybody's paying attention on a Sunday, those horrible late games, when it's Arizona against San Francisco and like 1% of the nation's watching, and you got Josh Rosen out there throwing up interceptions and getting tackled and sacked. Nope. Get Kyler Murray.
Okay, Chris, thanks, which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. Like the NBA and the NFL, the NHL has opened up its game to explosive offense with rule changes. And the game is so much better now, with casual sports fans needing to become familiar with one Nikita Kucherov. Who? He already has reached the 100-point mark, needing fewer games to reach that mark since Mario Lemieux in 1997. And Kucherov is going to win the Hart Trophy as league MVP with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if you do prefer American-born players to Russians, Patrick Kane is having a monster season for the Blackhawks. I remember when Kane, then a teenager, addressed me in Chicago as Mr. Mariotti. I should be calling him Mr. Kane. If you happen to be in LA and you don't want to spend a fortune to watch LeBron lose games, I have a sporting option. Her name, Caitlin Ohashi. She has been a godsend for the troubled sport of gymnastics, electrifying with perfect 10 performances, including one show that went viral and drawing crowds of more than 10,000 to recent events at her home, UCLA, and on the road. The once dynastic UCLA basketball program has fallen apart. Football, even with Chip Kelly, is an afterthought. But Pauley Pavilion is alive every time Ohashi and her teammates, ranked second nationally, take the floor. Go see them. Having been involved in the scandalous Fry Festival, rapper Ja Rule shouldn't be anywhere near an NBA halftime show. The Milwaukee Bucks invited him anyway, and the event was nothing but trouble Sunday, with his background music coming on late and Rule staying on the court too long as Giannis Antetokounmpo was taking warm-up shots for the second half. When the opposing Minnesota Timberwolves ripped him on their website, Rule ripped them back, saying he was cursing the Timberwolves for life. They're already cursed for life. Forgive me, but why is Ja Rule still relevant? And if Don Nelson changed basketball with small lineups that played fast, he also knew the importance of life perspective, wearing pink ties, downing beers at press conferences, and not really giving a damn en route to a record 1,335 regular season NBA coaching victories. So nobody should be surprised that Nelly, also age 77, has gone a little different route than Robert Kraft. Nelly lives in Maui, has shoulder-length blonde hair, he wears a gold chain, he grows his own brand of weed, and he gets stoned with Willie Nelson, Owen Wilson, and Woody Harrelson, among others. You are going to be hearing this audio clip forever, and it gets better every time I play it. Nelson in the Bay Area the other night.
After basketball, Coach, I know you live in Hawaii, right? So
yeah, I've been smoking some pot. But I never smoked when I played or coached, so it's new to me. But anyway, I'm doing that, and I'm having a pretty good time. It's more legal now than it's ever been, and so I'm enjoying that. And I personally am involved with rent in the rental business. We have a lot of I invested my fortune in Maui. And so we rent out our structures that we built and bought over the years, and we make a good living.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too white male for Jemele Hill. Take it away, Jay.
I feel sorry for the typical baseball numbers geek. First name, Al. Last name, Gorithm. Al Gorithm, who outthinks himself into a pretzel-like state of mindlessness. There's this bizarre school of thought out there that the Angels will be just fine if Mike Trout leaves in free agency after the 2020 season because, oh, the Giants won 3 World Series after Barry Bonds was gone. And, oh, the Mariners won 116 games the year after Randy Johnson, Alex Rodriguez, and Ken Griffey Jr. left. And, oh, the Cardinals were just fine after Albert Pujols left. Are they stoned? Are these a bunch of Don Nelsons here? Couldn't resist. Even the algorithmic geeks realized the Trout's war figures, wins above replacement, are historically off the charts and that we are watching a once-in-a-lifetime baseball miracle. And because his youth has been wasted by the Angels who play in Orange County obscurity and haven't put a team around him that even allows him to win one playoff game, I would much prefer a team such as the Yankees or the Phillies sign Trout and put him out of his unspoken misery. No, the Angels will not be okay without Mike Trout. They might just rot away like their aging ballpark, which sits on a nondescript street by a freeway near a Del Taco and some brewery. Of all my Southern California sporting experiences, the utter lack of appreciation for Mike Trout is the most disappointing. And LeBron James at Staples Center isn't far behind. As I said, go see Caitlin Ohashi. That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life.
It's the motherfucking Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
You know I'm hopping with the D. Shit up. DP, JC, my nigga, turn that shit up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slip my hoe a 44 when she got in the back door. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you down with the set. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on this jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if your ass get cracked. Bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back. That's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving the stress.